St. Louis University's Museum of Contemporary Religious Art, MOCRA, opens a new exhibit tomorrow featuring the photography of Regina DeLuise, who is the chair of photography at the Maryland Institute College of Art. She joins us now on the phone from her office in Baltimore. Regina, welcome to Cityscape.
Thank you so much.
Terry Dempsey is MOCRA's director, and he joins us too. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Steve. Good to be with you again.
Thanks. Regina, you spent 7 weeks in Bhutan, which is a country south of China. But visiting that country is something a lot of people don't get to do.
It's true. It was a very interesting and fortuitous moment when it all came together. But it was a very amazing trip, very special place.
There's an interesting story about what you did when you're there. But Terry, just to start things off, you actually have known Regina for some time.
I have known Regina for about between 8 and 10 years. We have a mutual friend, the late artist Adrian Kellard. He died in 1991, and he and Regina were college friends, college colleagues, and they remained friends throughout their lives, throughout his life.
Regina, you went, it had something to do with an organization known as VAST, which is an acronym for something. Would you paint that picture for us?
Sure, yes. When I learned about going to Bhutan, you actually have to get a special visa. It's difficult to go there without paying a sort of a daily tariff as a tourist. So I worked with the Bhutan Foundation, who advocates for a number of organizations in Bhutan, and VAST was one of those. And that stands for Volunteer Artist Studio in Thimphu, and Thimphu is the capital city. So that group of artists who are working with the youth of the city in many interesting ways, art education and other in other areas of community engagement. So through the Bhutan Foundation, I was able to connect with VAST and then work with these artists and students as well.
You know, I'd heard of Bhutan, but when I knew you were going to be on the show, I had to really look it up to figure out exactly where it was. I didn't know a lot about it. Did you know much about it, and why did you go?
I knew nothing about it myself. I mean, I was a part of a cooperative gallery in Vermont once, and we wanted very much to hang flags outside, and the little town that I lived in wouldn't let us hang anything but a national flag. So I went and I found a flag that I thought was just beautiful and not really recognizable. It happened to have been the flag of Bhutan, which has a dragon on it, and it's orange and yellow. So that was my only relationship to the country. But I was this film that I saw at the Environmental Film Festival in D.C. That introduced me to the country just as I was planning my own sabbatical. So it was called Happiness, and it was about the initiative that the government has, that they are trying to measure the gross national happiness of the citizens of Bhutan. So I was really fascinated by that idea and also by the just extraordinary beauty of the place.
Did you know what you wanted to photograph when you went there?
I did not, and that's not very unusual for me. Oftentimes in my life and in my career, I'll just kind of throw my hat far over the fence somewhere and then go collect it and see what happens. I mean, clearly, I was thinking about going back to India and that part of the world. I went to India on my Guggenheim Fellowship in the mid-90s and found that fascinating. And I studied more about Buddhism since that time. So I was initially thinking of going there. So this was, you know, a sort of a quick shift. But I felt I knew something about what I might find, just in terms of the culture and the religion. But I didn't know specifically how it would all unfold.
All right. We want to talk to you about your work in just a moment. But Terry, let's first point out that Regina prefers black and white photography. So how does her work speak to you?
There's a wonderful intimacy in her work, whether you're looking at people, and she photographs, there are four spectacular portrait photographs in this exhibition, and she has a real wonderful way of letting you have access to these people, and yet there's a mystery also. But you'll have also these little still lifes of an ironing board leaning against a wall, or a flower stuck in one of the throwaway plastic water bottles, and or a book open, and they cause you just to pause and look at things that we'd ordinarily not pay much attention to and look at them again as objects of beauty. And Regina has a real thought about these small objects and the dignity that they have.
Maybe would you like to comment on that? And, you know, I must say, looking at your work, I find it very striking. And, you know, I guess the black and white lends itself to that.
I think it really does. I think it really does. I think it sort of instantly sort of transforms or transports you. So it's something that I've always used.
You don't photograph in color, do you?
I don't really photograph. I've never shown color work. I mean, I sort of photograph for myself in that way and can be fascinated by color. I mean, like everybody else, I have an iPhone, and I really enjoy kind of color moments in that realm. But I've never really exhibited color.
You talk about your iPhone, but let's talk about the camera since you bring that up, the camera that you used, because I saw a photograph of you with your camera, and I don't know anything about cameras, but it looks like the kind of camera they used to use 100 years ago.
It is sort of based on an antique camera. It's quite a new camera, but it is an 8x10 field camera, so it's quite a simple arrangement, but it produces a large format negative. So I have plates that are holding film that are 8x10 inches, and I put that in the back of the camera, and I go under the dark cloth so I can darken the ground glass and see what I'm looking at. Interestingly, the image that I see on the back of the camera is upside down because it's really a simple camera. It's not a fancy camera, so there are no mirrors inside that will invert the image as there are in other cameras. So, when I'm working, the picture is sort of already abstracted in some way for me. But I love the camera. I've used it since I was an undergrad student. And there's something that's very physical. I mean, it's heavy. It's 25 pounds or so, and I have a tripod. And, it really requires some physical effort, and I find that it was just very conducive to the way that I see. I like to sort of take time with what I'm looking at. There isn't anything particularly instant about what I do with photography. So the camera is unusual and quite wonderful. It's really quite wonderful. And I think people are very curious about it, so oftentimes it gets me into interesting places.
Terry was talking about some of the subjects that you photograph, some simple things like perhaps an open book or whatever it might be. But you went there, did you not, to capture something about their culture?
That's correct. I mean, I think, going in and knowing that I was going to be working with other artists was a great thing for me, that I felt that whatever would happen, I'd have community to work from. But I mean, I do have areas that are always interesting to me, like landscape photography and figurative work and still life. I mean, all these genres in photography are subjects of interest. But I really have to arrive there before I sort of can understand what is going to sort of rise to the top or what's going to kind of make itself known to me.
Mm-hmm. Terry mentioned a few of your shots. Why don't you maybe just pick out one and describe it to us? Something that, I don't know, one of your favorites perhaps.
There's a book on Ledge, which is in the invitation, was a book that I came across while I was with the artist at Vast, and it was drawings and a sort of deconstruction of the Buddhist icons that were traditionally drawn and painted. And it really broke the icon down into these very basic sort of forms and sort of layered it. And to me, it was very fascinating to see these something that I would have recognized in its final state. You know, it was just very rich and very, highly colorated and just really beautiful, sort of taken down to the line, very simple line so that anyone could understand how it was sort of made. So that book became something that I borrowed and took home and stayed with and looked at a lot. And I wanted very much to try to incorporate that into my work and found this space in my apartment that there was a sort of ledge with a skylight that created a very open, sort of ungrounded, non-grounded sort of situation for the book. So I felt that that really related to the idea of, you know, basic tenet of Buddhism, which is groundlessness. And I was very excited when that object and the light and all, and the situation sort of coalesced for me to make that picture.
St. Louis University's Museum of Contemporary Religious Art presents Vast Bhutan, Images from the Phenomenal World, photographs by Regina DeLuise, opening tomorrow running through May 10th. There's an opening reception, by the way, on Saturday. From 2 into 4 in the afternoon, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page for more information about that. And Regina, just very briefly, what did you learn during your 7 weeks about the Bhutan culture, and what might we learn looking at your work?
Well, I think that the thing that was most prevalent and most amazing for me was the generosity of the culture and the openness of the people. I think that in certain ways, everything seemed quite simple there. You know, it's they don't seem to have a lot, but the sort of richness of their lives was really evident based on their faith and their dedication and their commitment to one another. I was very, very struck by Vast and Kama Wangdi, who started the organization's commitment to really sort of raising the levels of the community through art.
Terry, a final comment?
Yes, we hope people will come tomorrow to the opening at between 2 and 4. I would recommend that people go on to the MOCRA website, mocra.slu.edu, because we have some construction going on nearby, and it'll tell you where to park.
That's Terry Dempsey. And Regina, before I let you go, I'd like to mention that your uncle was the late actor and comedian Dom DeLuise, who passed away, I guess, was about 5 years ago. Did he appreciate your work?
Oh, he did. He did. Thank you for bringing him up. He was a wonderful man, and we miss him greatly. But yeah, he was a very early supporter of my work and purchased it and introduced me to some of his friends who also purchased it, Mel Brooks and M. Bancroft owned some of my work. And he was a real champion of my work, which I appreciated as a young artist and as his niece.
And I should mention, you'll be at the reception tomorrow. I don't think we mentioned that.
Absolutely. I'm really looking forward to it.
Regina, thanks so much. Regina DeLuise, thanks so much for joining us today, and we look forward to having you here.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thanks, Steve.
And before we leave, I'd like to mention a story that's currently on our website. It's about the former director of the St. Louis Art Museum, Perry Rathbone. Rathbone became the director of the museum in 1940 when he was just 29 years old. He was the youngest director of a major American art museum at the time. He was responsible for several of the museum's most notable acquisitions, including the sculptures Cockfight and Drunken Satyr. He was also instrumental in bringing prominent German expressionist Max Beckmann to St. Louis. Rathbone's daughter, Belinda Rathbone, an art historian and author, has written a book about her father, and you can read a reflection by St. Louis Public Radio's Robert Duffy on the front page of our website, stlpublicradio.org. Belinda Rathbone will be reading from her book tomorrow at Left Bank Books beginning at 4 o'clock. And next week on Cityscape, we're going to reveal the nominations for this year's St. Louis Theater Circle Awards. And join Don Marsh Monday for St. Louis on the Air when he'll talk with Jeff Rainford as he steps down after serving since 2001 as St. Louis Mayor Francis Slay's Chief of Staff. He's the city's longest-serving Chief of Staff. Archived versions of past Cityscape programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards, Alex Hoyer, and Erica Smith, and engineered by Aaron Doerr. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Cityscape is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. I'm Steve Potter, and join us next week.